Okay, we're going to look at a teaching this morning on territorial spirits. This is part two. This is called powers. All right, Romans 13:1. Now, I typed this one out because I want to read it out of the Amplified. I'll wait on Danny here a minute.
It's actually part three.
Well, okay. Whatever part it is, this is called powers. So, Romans 13:1 out of Amplified says, "Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities. There is no authority except from God, by His permission, His sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment." Here we see God's permissive will in action. These demonic entities have permission. You know, when you hear, pray for all in authority, it doesn't matter if they're evil, they're good. And we'll see as we get along here the picture. All right. How can God allow evil leaders and their evil spirit counterparts to rule? Because when you see a leader, there's a power above him, you understand, right? There's somebody pulling the strings, manipulating. Yeah. All right, we're going to look at some other scriptures. This is Proverbs 8:15. It says, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." That didn't say just the good ones, did it? It said all. Here the words in the Strong's power means force, capacity, competency, freedom or mastery, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, delegate, influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, might, and strength. So this word powers means human and supernatural, or superhuman. Supernatural, superhuman. All subject to God. All of them. So above a natural leader is a superhuman leader. Okay, let's read Daniel. This, to me, Daniel depicts probably the most easiest to understand why Daniel's prayers were hindered. For a time, we'll start with verse 1 there. See, we have to be, you know, the Lord's been taking us down a path to not be flippant, that these principalities and powers, territorial spirits and things that we wrestle against, we need God's wisdom and His strategy to deal with these entities, not just some flinton churchy rote. I think that's why the seven sons of Sceva got themselves tore up. They knew Paul. They knew Jesus. Rightful authority. But they, who are you? And they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. It physically attacked them. It wasn't just a spiritual attack. It was a right on physically. They felt it in their body. So naked and bleeding, that's pretty bad, right? They didn't know what the heck they were doing. What God does is doing and has us do should be sanctioned. Yes, we have power over spirits, is what Jesus said, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But that doesn't mean you just pull it out of your wallet like your credit card and slap it down and it just cures everything. It doesn't work like that. You better be knowing what you're doing when you start messing with this area. Not to mean to scare anybody, to just be wise, you know. To walk by the Spirit means to walk supernaturally, not fleshly. You cannot walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the flesh at the same time. It's a double-minded man. The works of the flesh, it says, death, Galatians. Walk of the Spirit, life and peace. That means we're hearing from God and we're getting instructions about things. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit, do what the Spirit says to me. No brainer. That is the easiest thing, way I could explain to anybody. If you want to walk in the Spirit, just listen to what the Lord is saying and then just do what He says do. Then no problem. The best way to stay out of the flesh is not just do stuff. Just do stuff. We've done stuff our whole life. What did it get us? Under bondage, for the most part. All right, verse 1. In the third year, Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed. This is chapter 10. Unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Sidekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. For when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So we see there's a hindrance here. The answer was delayed in coming because of this territorial spirit that these angels had to fight with, and Michael had to get assistance. Isn't that what it says here? Right here. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, maybe this is, I don't know what angel this is, but Michael had to come and assist him. He's supposed to be the warrior angel. Yeah. So, he's one of the chief princes. He came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So there's a war going on in the heavenlies. After Daniel prayed and delayed and fasted and prayed, didn't even take a shower, it says. For 3 whole weeks, that's how desperate he was to hear from God. And the angel said, we've been working. We've been trying to get here as quick as we can. Yeah. So when you pray, it's not just words. He said, I've come for your words. Think about that. Pretty powerful. I've come for your words. All right. Those that stand in offices are not really the real power. It is the one behind the scenes that is pulling the strings that is really influencing. Now you know why leaders look the way they do, act the way they do. They're being manipulated. Yeah, for good or for evil. They stand in this place of earthly authority, but above them is superhuman. That's why we pray this prayer. Okay, 1 Timothy. When you're overlooking the person standing in that office and thinking it's all their fault and they're doing all of this and blaming all them and calling them names and sending them to hell, you know what I'm saying? All the stuff that Christians do. When you bypass human and go for superhuman, it changes the picture. Right here. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, again, of thanks be made for all men. Didn't say good. It said all. For kings and for all that are in authority, good or bad, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. What is this doing? It is bypassing the human vessel and going right for the real power. You could say the power behind the throne, power behind the office. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We always target the enemy. We never target people. Unless the Lord specifically gives us a word, like what happened with Herod. But I think a lot of their praying had been in the spirit. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you take out the power, if you address the power with the finger of God, then you loose the leader too, right? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when we see these people, the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, the Schiff's, the whatever's, up there doing their thing and yammering, you can look behind the mask and you can see the real entity behind the scenes. I believe that's how God would have us view it. That way we don't get into bashing people. It's easy to target an individual, but we're missing the mark here. We are after that power that is manipulating that person, that's manipulating many persons. Okay, Ephesians 3:10. I sure would have liked to have known all of this 40 years ago, wouldn't have you? Or even 20 years ago. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Yeah. We need wisdom to operate in this heavenly realm. God's wisdom to do so. It isn't just flippant. It's not just happenstance. It's not that somebody had a revelation about something so everybody gets on board with that. No. Think about certain things. When God speaks to you to do something, it might be just a one-time thing for one instance, and that's it. Like I said, Charles Capps, I don't know if he said that about Polly want a cracker. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, he was following Christ. His real aim was you follow Christ. Okay, this is Ephesians 6:10, scripture that tells us about our armor and standing. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. That says a mouthful right there. Put on the whole armor of God. So this is spiritual armor, not natural armor. I know this was a fad that went through the church where people would go to high places and war in the spirit against principalities and powers. I'm going, it just doesn't get any dumber than this. You're not doing anything but making a dead gum fool of yourself. No wonder they think you're a bunch of idiots and crackpots. The stuff the church has done in the flesh is ridiculous. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you better be armed spiritually, because the natural, it isn't going to help. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is serious business. This isn't playtime. This isn't a time to just do what everybody in everybody's book says do. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Well, that means you got something on your head and you ought to be thinking. Take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And how does this all culminate? How are we going to know? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. To me, that's what triggers the whole thing. When you're tuned into the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, then these pieces of armor can work. You can't work them in the flesh. You can't just drag it out of the closet once in a while and expect to win this big battle. You better be wearing it all the time. This is the kind you don't put in the closet. Just as this natural body is the clothing, you could say, protects our organs and does those kind of things, the armor of God protects us in the spirit realm. This is where the warfare happens. By the Spirit, not by the flesh. I mean, you can look back and think about all the times that you've gone through things, and have you been successful or have you failed? Well, probably if you took time to hear from God about it, you were successful. But if you didn't and just gave up and said, well, I'm just going to go do something, it's a fail, right? More than likely. All right. Keep going here. There's some more scriptures on these powers. Colossians 1, 16. For by him were, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That comes up. Did God create evil? I say no. He did not. He created everything he created was good. But what happened? Well, there was a rebellion. What we're dealing with today has to do with the rebellion in heaven when a third of the angels were kicked out and came to earth. That's what we're dealing with today. And these old demons, these aliens, they're demonic entities. They better not misinterpret, because they're here to kill, steal, and destroy. People have let them in. People have entertained them, bought their lies. But they're here, and we can't get rid of them. except if we're armed the right way. We're hearing from God. Oh, it gets all over me when I hear people talking about that really believe these are real entities. I heard Rob Skiba, and it's real sad about Rob Skiba. Great Bible teacher, had a lot of insight into all of this. And he was talking about these demonic entities parading, you know, and when all of this started with Aleister Crowley and all this stuff about people believing that they are ETs when they are actually, yeah, they're ETs all right. We talked about terrestrial and extraterrestrial. But during the COVID thing, he, I guess, contracted something and they sent him to the hospital and they whisked him away and his wife never saw him again. They put him on remdesivir and a ventilator and killed him. I mean, he went all over the world teaching this kind of stuff, teaching about what really was. And he wasn't that old, probably around our age. And he's been doing it for many years before I ever knew anything about anything. You know? But he was talking about this very thing about their, don't be fooled. These are demons. They are demons. Well, I know Jesus talked about that when these Nephilim died out. These demons roam the earth and had no place to go. It says they walk in dry places looking for rest. That's why they inhabit a body. So that's what we're dealing with here today. What would happen if the whole body of Christ realized this and began to get in line with walking in the Spirit? They would have no entrance, would they, into anybody's life? He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Let me see where I stop here. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So what did Jesus do? There used to be a series I liked to watch. It was called the Equalizer. Was it the Equalizer? Anyway, what He did was He leveled the playing field. And that's what Jesus did. He went to the cross and took out these entities, triumphed over them, Colossians 2:15 says, and then gave us authority over them. Because until that time, really we had no defense. Okay, Jesus owns them, these powers. If they'd have known this, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. See, they just don't know what they did. Jesus owns them. They're subject to Him. They made the biggest mistake that they ever made when they incited the Pharisees and the Romans to kill Jesus. It sealed their doom forever. They were used to ravaging the earth and doing whatever they wanted to, whenever they wanted to. I think we're going to really be shocked when we know about our true history. There's just really no telling what's there. What these demonic entities have enticed with earth people to do. We see what it is like today and how horrible it is. There's really no telling. Everything that we thought we knew, we'll probably have to think, whoa, were we off track? Well, they told us what they wanted us to know to keep us dumb, to dumb us down, so that we wouldn't know the truth, so they could go on with their agenda and take out the earth again. All right, Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He saved us, man. Not flippantly, well, I got saved. I mean, He saved us. Every way possible there could ever be, He saved us. Do you get the picture here? Our target are the powers over these leaders, not the leaders themselves. They're just being manipulated and controlled. Over the last year or so, the Lord has been speaking to us about spiritual mapping, taking out strongholds and ley lines. God is allowing them, permitting them to operate. We must have His plan to take them out of those positions. See, Jesus, He whipped the devil, and then He said, occupy till I come. So why are we putting up with this? Because we're putting up with this. It's up to us to get the plan and take them out by the finger of God, not by works of the flesh. His plan to take them out of those positions, even though Jesus already did it at Calvary, we must enforce what He already did. I've been bringing up about not being flippant about the things of the Spirit. They are to be by the Spirit, not by the flesh. God has the plan to take them out by His finger and not ours. I'm telling you, we'll get to where we're probably not going to say a lot, huh? When the rubber meets the road. If the Lord, you know, talks about what of God is going to remain and what is not is going to burn up, are we going to have bonfires at our meeting, or are we going to have a candle? I mean, yeah, we've all done it because that's the way we were taught. We didn't know any better. We thought we were doing good. And maybe we helped a little. All right, let's keep going here. Hebrews 6. We just want to do it right. See, the Lord's raising up a new generation. He's raising up a new church. He's taking out the old guard. And so we got to get it right this time. We have to get it right. I said, Lord, I would rather do nothing than You speak to me two times in my life when I rise to the occasion and it accomplishes something. 100% success. Then all you did is waste your whole stinking life just doing stuff because that's all I know to do. This is supposed to be helping. It may seem hard, but I'm telling you, look at the mess we're in. Look at the mess we are in. Just think, if all the truthers and all the Q-Force and everything were on this page. I'm sure a lot of them, I know Q has quoted this Ephesians 10 in his post. They're aware of what these entities are. They know there's no such thing as ETs. They know they're demons. They know. They know all of it. God raised up these people for this time. Thank God He did. All right, Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Does that ring a bell? Well, I've been walking in faith, been studying faith for 40 years. That's like saying, I've been learning how to add 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4 for 40 years. No wonder you're getting your, you know what, kicked every day by the devil. We're supposed to learn these things and move on. There's a whole lot to learn. There's a whole lot about the Spirit we don't know. And I feel like we've learned so much. But that's just a thimbleful compared to God, what He has. Right here, let me read this again. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. We need to get past everything we do. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I guess I missed it. Says, if your heart condemn you not, then you have confidence toward God. What are you repenting for? Quit repenting all the time. You know what that does? It gives you a loser, miss it mentality that does not help you in any way. You just go on and act like I've done everything right, and if the Lord needs to speak to you about something, He will. Bring a lot more peace in your life. I spent my whole life people condemning me and accusing me of things, and I never knew what I did. Until the Lord began to show me in the last 8 years who I am in Him and how much He accepted me, how much He loved me, I didn't give a rat's hiney. Who in the world didn't like me anymore? They could just go take a flying leap off a sharp pier as far as I could be concerned, because I didn't want nothing to do with those kind of people ever again in my life. And the Lord said, you don't have to be associated with that. That's just coming into knowing who you are, because we have been kicked down the road our whole lives. And it's time for that to be over. It's time to quit thinking in that mentality. You're a king's kid and you need to act like it. All right. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Who's the accuser of the brethren? And faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. We need to believe God. We need to believe what He says about us and quit letting people kick us down and make us feel bad about everything. That's the lack of maturity right there. And I know when you've been shamed a lot in your life and you feel like, you know, nobody loves me, nobody cares. Well, that's not true anymore. God does. If God be for you, who could be against you? I'm saying, if you can't accept me through the way I am, the way I look, and what I do, then, well, maybe you need to go somewhere else. That's the way you have to take that attitude. I'm okay and I'm on my way, and my Father hasn't told me I've done anything wrong, so maybe you better go check again in your attitude. Lord knows why I'm saying all this today, but He... Anyway, 1 Peter 3:22. I said, I don't make this stuff up. 3:22. Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. That's evil and good. Just think about that. They're just on a short leash. Yeah. Powers here means dunamis, force, miraculous power, and miracle itself. A miracle itself. Now we can understand why Jesus made this statement. This is a Luke 11, verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Then He goes on and talk about the strong man, spoiling his goods. He was successful when he did it because he did it by the finger of God, not just in his flesh. Well, I think I'll go cast out a devil today. Don't go looking for a fight. Don't go looking for a fight. He already took all power over all powers. He leveled the playing field for us. We are the ones that are supposed to be taking dominion. See, He gave what the devil took from Adam back to Adam. That's what happened. You know, you hear the, I've heard others say this too, not just me, about back to Eden, back to the pre-fall state. Yeah. All right. I believe that we would do better to say nothing until God gives us the words to speak. If all we do is jabber aimlessly, then we lose our credibility among the powers and among men. The demons told the seven sons of Sceva, we know Jesus, we know Paul, but who are you? We're going to kick you out of here. And they did. When Jesus spoke, it happened. When Paul spoke, it happened. See what I mean? There was a difference. One did it, two did it by the Spirit. Those others didn't. They just were mimicking. It's just like Simon the sorcerer wanted to pay Paul. Or was it Peter? Peter, to give him this power. And he called him a child of the devil, a son of the devil, or whatever it was he said. All powers are subject to God. They really do what God allows them to do. How can God allow it? Because we do. Jesus didn't clean it up. The deep state was at work when Jesus was here. He called Herod a fox. They killed John the Baptist. What did he do? He did his part. He went to the cross. And he went, took out the principalities and powers that were arranged against us. Made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. Then he said, okay now. Now you take care of it. I've given you now authority over all these evils. Okay, let's keep going. Philippians 2. Let me see. I don't know if I want to start. Let me look up here. All right, verse 7. Let's just start with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. See, this is where these demons, these demonics are. This underworld, where all the dumbs are, all the evil's taking place. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The demons, they had to go under. There was no place to go. All right, but here's the three dominions here. We have authority in three worlds here. All right, if people were paying attention, everything about everything is summed up in this scripture. We live in an enclosed system, and it's a very, very small world after all, isn't it? What did the devil make us think? Oh, there's universes beyond universes and beyond universes and beyond universes, and it's getting bigger every day. And all these entities are coming from all these different planets, and all this bull, just bull. They're probably back there laughing, thinking they're the stupidest, they're stupid, more dumb than sheep. I heard someone say the reason they called them dumbs, deep. Think of the word dumb. Dumb! See, they made us dumb, just as dumb as stumps. People are going around, I ain't seeing nothing going on. They just keep letting the image of the beast brainwash them, and they're dumb as a stump. You wonder what's wrong? That's what's wrong. They ever get away from that, start coming out from under that? Okay. The three dimensions. We live under the dome and everything is going to happen in these three dimensions. It's a small world after all. You see, the Disney pedos know the truth. Da, 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 da. The Magic Kingdom. Jesus got them though. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2. Jesus got them. All right, this is 1 Corinthians 2, 7, and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The joke's on them. Yeah. Talk about an oh no moment. But we didn't know. We got outsmarted. The Son of God outsmarted us. We thought we had him. Nailed him to the cross. Killed him. We thought we had him. But God raised him from the dead. I thought, oh no. We're doomed. They are subject to God. In other words, God has them on a leash. We see this. And I've read this to y'all many times. This is Revelation 20. There's coming a day, and it's happening very soon, where God says, go get him. I've given him 6 days. His days are over. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Ever seen a junkyard dog? They got him chained up. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. That's going to be the greatest day of every Christian there is. God said to the angel, okay, it's time. He's run out of time. There's no telling how many times the Lord has seen what happened in Noah's day go on. How many times did utter destruction happen on the earth? I don't know. Okay, 1 Corinthians, all right, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. For though there be he that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all are all things, and we by him. Yeah. But there are also good powers. There's not just bad powers. There are good powers. Hebrews 1, verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what the deal with Daniel. The angel said, I've come for your words, but this powerful demonic entity interfered, and Michael, the warrior angel, or the over Israel, who's Israel? The church. Came to my aid so I could break through the line and get this answer to you. Yeah. I don't think any of that's changed. Now on earth, we've been given the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. But in the heavenlies, it's still the same. The warfare going on. The angels hearkening to the voice of our words. All right. Let's go to Mark 1, 13. Let's quit letting the devil kick us around and make us feel bad about ourselves. We've outgrown that. We know better. Just say, oh, go take a flying leap. All right. Mark 1:13 says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Angels help us. They aid us. We're going through hard times. I believe that. I know there's times I felt their presence. All right, Luke 22. I believe they give you ideas. It's like they're with you and they aid you and help you as they can. If you're in a quandary about something, just something occurs to you. A lot of people say, well, it's just the Holy Spirit inside of you. Yeah, but I do believe the angels also. I've said before that whenever a lot of times I'll have a word, it's like there's something, someone standing over my shoulder and I'm writing. Is it an angel? I don't know. I remember Billy Brim talking about the time she wrote, she was writing the Wellman question. And she realized, you know, her denomination, Baptist, would not allow women preachers, and she had been called from her mother's womb. And she, as she was reading all the material, Brother Hagin had her, you know, editing and all of that, she just laid her head on the typewriter and began to weep. And she said she felt a presence enter the room. She said, I don't know if it was the Lord, I don't know if it was an angel, but I just said, does this mean now I can obey God? I guess they responded in yes. See, she had to get the truth that brought the angel, the Lord brought the truth to her, so she was free to be what God called her to be. We ought to obey God rather than men, right? Okay, Luke 22:39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The day that our former pastors came into our living room and wanted us to take the church, they said, well, ain't me. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, will you not drink of the cup that I've given you to drink? I said, yes, Lord, I will. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So Jesus had help, angelic support, in his most trying time. Well, they're there for us too. He literally had the weight of the world on his shoulders. Literally. Spiritually and literally. All right, Acts 27. Verse 2. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, this is when Paul was in custody of Julius, the centurion. Entering into a ship of the Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus of Macedonia, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. When he had launched from thence, We sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in the city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he was put thereon. When he had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Simone. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh unto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Arachlidon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. I heard someone say yesterday, it was 107, he was talking about, he was in Alaska. He said, you know, in Florida, they had Ian. That's a hurricane. He said, but in Alaska, that's just Wednesday. They're talking about the kind of weather conditions there is in Alaska and the glaciers and all the stuff that goes with it. It's no big deal to them. As we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So God was watching over everything Paul was going through, and even the whole crew, everyone on the ship. All right? If we could just rattle off, I rebuke you and I bind you at will, wouldn't things be a lot better? Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. The ways of the Spirit are not like the ways of the flesh. Religious rote doesn't do a thing. The less religious we get, the more spiritual we become. Anything else is a waste of time. Think about that. Be deliberate in your speaking. Hear from God about it before you speak. Concentrate on this. We're going to go back to Romans 13 where I started. 13:1. Get a drink. All right. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay we tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what is he saying here? Honor the powers. Let your love walk be your primary focus. What you decide to do in life is to walk in love. Because what does love do? It doesn't fail. It never fails. See, we're concentrating on rebuking the devil and taking this out and doing this and all these roads instead of our love walk is our main focus. Whether it be the king or the whoever, good or bad, they should not be able to ever even have anything to say bad about us where they could accuse us. I've seen conservatives and Christians act worse than people of the world, I'm sorry to say. We're not here to retaliate. We're here to bring people to reconciliation with their Savior. A high love walk. If we as Christians would do just this, we could win every battle because love never fails. It overpowers the beast system. Yeah. 1 Corinthians. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. See, God's given us a way to win, but it's not like physical men fight their battles. All right, a few more scriptures here. God has a will. Will you investigate his will? This is what we are recommended to do. Investigate his will. When you know his will, then you'll know what to do. Then grace comes into play to help you do his will. Don't ever tell the Lord, I can't do that, because grace comes on you to do it. I know that for a fact. Sometimes things, oh no, I couldn't do that. That scares me. Well, no, under the grace of God, you can do it all. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. What is grace? That's strength. It's what it is. All right, let's keep going here. Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 3. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Once you do that, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then it goes on to talk about, for as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. It goes on to talk about these different grace gifts, these different things he's given us to do after we get our minds renewed and we know God's will. Okay? God's divine power and government overrides the beast system. Revelation 13. I've just got a few more here. Natives are getting a little restless here. All right, Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is the beast system. This is what we are currently going through right here now. It's been here since Genesis, but it's reaching its culmination here, right here. Didn't we just go through this? And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Isn't that pretty well the way it is under the beast system? You can't put your kids in school without vaccinations and birth certificates. You can't drive your car without a license. You can't go fishing, you can't go hunting, you can't do anything without a license. That's what it's saying right here. You got to have a Social Security number, you can't come to work here. If that's not it, then it's never going to be. This is a crock, is what it is, if that is not so. It doesn't get any plainer than that today. This is a system that's been going on for 6,000 years right here. Had us all in slavery. Conglomeration of nations. President Trump said last night in his speech, he said, we don't even talk about socialism anymore because we've gone from that to full-blown communism. The beast. You know where the beast has risen up out of? European Union, Germany. What the Lord said to me, the beast rises out of Germany. He sure did. Hitler didn't. Nothing happened to Hitler. They just transferred over here. The beast. Now there's many leaders involved in all of this. But this is a system. Okay. This has been going on for a long time. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Talk about a church out of order. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? The church going to civil courts? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Sue happy saints. God didn't say do that. He put the apostles to bring judgment in the church. Call things out. correct things, make things, sure things are decently and in order in the church. How come now it's not that way in the church? They're just as rotten in the church as they are out there. Because they're all under the same B system. 501c3. All right, when the church started going to the world instead of God, well, enough said. Now you know why. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Just a couple scriptures here. In fact, these will be my last scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 15, 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I read that earlier. For he that hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subject unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. All right, Babylon has fallen. Yeah. Those powers know their time is short. As the apostles and prophets step up and take the reins, we're going to see the true church, Christ's body, rise and begin to be who they were really meant to be. These evil powers will no longer have any say. We see a massive restructuring happening right now in everything. Everything's going to change. And we're right in the process of it right now.